You know, thinking about being in the world, we're all born into the world, into some kind of relationship. You see, it's unavoidable. As soon as we come into this world, we have a relationship. First of all, there is a relationship with our family, with our mother and our father, whoever that might be. And then we make friends of people. As we grow up, as we get older, we start to connect with people our own age, and perhaps we have connection with siblings, with brothers and sisters. And then, of course, people who are outside the family, as we begin to go to school and as we begin to see other people and understand who they are and learn about them. And then we branch out even more the older we get, and the more and more relationships we have. And eventually we connect with people at work and at church and wherever we may go. And with the online world today, and with things like Facebook, we can connect to thousands of people that are out there in the world who share like beliefs with us, who share similar thoughts and ideas, and we communicate with them, and we can have connections with people that we never thought was possible before. And all of these relationships then are relationships that we make and that we manage and that God wants us to care for as He desires these relationships to be cared for. And so the question is this: how does God want us to manage our relationships? Certainly God wants us to have these relationships, or we wouldn't be born into a world of many people. God would never have told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and prosper, you know, if He didn't want this world to be filled with all kinds of people. And in fact, God Himself is the greatest builder of relationships, because we see that He is concerned about building those relationships in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 13 through 19. It's a passage that's familiar to many of us, and a set of verses that help us to understand specifically about God's desire for our relationships to be strong and to be pure and to be holy. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in about verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." What is it that Jesus came to do? To reconcile man to God and make that a strong and healthy and loving relationship, and then to reconcile man to his fellow man, and to make that a strong and loving and healthy relationship. And so in verse 17, we continue reading here, "And He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who were near, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Now look at verse 19. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Members of the household of God. You see, God wants us to have good relationships, and He's done everything that He can possibly do to have good, for us to have good relationships, starting with making that relationship that we have with Him good through Jesus, and then helping us make these relationships with those who are around us good as well. And when we turn to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, we see the practical side of having and making good relationships. Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 through 10. Read what the Apostle Paul says here for just a moment. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that's what I would like to talk about this morning. As we think about Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, and particularly this expression, owe no one anything except to love one another. What does that expression mean? And what is Paul talking about when he says, owe no one anything? And what does he mean by loving one another? And how does that make for good relationships in my life today? And so this morning we'll compare and contrast the purposes and expectations of man in creating relationships with the purposes and expectations of God. And we will note how humans construct certain kinds of relationships, but that God actually creates and liberates our relationships. And I hope that each one will understand God's design then of loving one another and how it encapsulates the whole of human relationships without the need for additional human construction. So let's think about this for a moment. First of all, we need to understand how people construct relationships. And that's our first point. The Apostle Paul says, owe no one anything. What does he mean by that? You know, some have come up with the idea that he's talking about money here, that he's talking about finances, that he's saying, don't owe anybody any money. Well, I don't believe that that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this particular context, because there are certain times when we need to go out and we need to get a loan to buy a house or to buy a car or something like that. And that's not what the Bible is prohibiting here. Paul isn't saying, never take out a loan, although that's how some might interpret this particular passage. Some would say, well, maybe he's talking about not making any commitments. Owe no one anything. I don't want to make any commitments so that I don't have to owe anybody anything. Well, that's not what he's talking about either. In fact, we make commitments all the time that are good and wholesome and right. We can make commitments to our jobs. We make commitments to our spouses, and I hope you can keep your commitment to your spouse. We make commitments to our children, to the church, and to many other people. And commitments are good. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37 that when you make your commitment, you keep your commitment. Let your speech be yea, yea, and nay, nay, and whatsoever is more than these is of the evil one. So Paul's not talking about making commitments. He's not saying don't commit anything to anyone, ever. That's not what he's saying at all. So what does this expression mean? Owe no man anything. Well, I believe that Paul is referring to a system of pleasing people through owing personal favors. Sometimes we refer to this as the quid pro quo system. You see, you give me something, and then I give you something back. I scratch your back and then you scratch my back, you know, as sometimes the saying goes. And there was a big quid pro quo system in the first century. In fact, most of the political system of the first century was based upon just that, where you had a patron and then you had clients, and the patron did certain things for the clients, and the clients did certain favors for the patrons, and they would exchange these favors one with another. And in exchanging these favors back and forth, they would keep a tally sheet, and they would say, well, you owe me this kind of favor, and you owe me that kind of favor. And on and on and on they would go. And that's the kind of thing I believe Paul's talking about, this system of owing personal favors so as to please people. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about doing a favor for somebody. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about telling somebody else, well, I'll pay you back for that someday. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a whole system that we set up, that humans construct, and that we keep tallies, and that we owe these favors as obligations and as debts to others. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, and I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here as well. And what is so wrong with this kind of system of obligations and favors? Well, you see, it leads to using people and treating them as things instead of loving them for the being that they are, created in the image of God. And when we treat people as things and we use them as things, then we don't respect them for who they truly are, persons made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. We don't want to use people as tools. We don't want to see them just as objects to be used for our own personal benefit. This creates artificial standards for personal relationships. Why, you're only so good as what you can do for me. You see, that's kind of how it ends up, this kind of system. It creates constant worry on the part of certain individuals who say, well, what can I do? I owe this person this debt and this favor, and if I don't pay it back, then I'm not going to get some things, and I will be out of some things. And it creates worry of those who seek to please others. And it creates a legalistic system of demands, ultimately, whereby we have to pay back this favor, and if we don't, then we're going to lose out. It results in pettiness and possessiveness, and it is a selfish system. You see, seeking to please people in this kind of way is ultimately impossible. First of all, because we cannot do it consistently, because we never know what's going to please someone and what isn't. Secondly, we really can't know if what we're doing is pleasing someone else. We also create these false standards of acceptance so that we will say, you know, something like, well, if I can only be this or I can only be that, then I would please these people and they would accept me. When we should accept people simply for who they are, as persons created in the image of God. And such, ultimately, that is, pleasing people, competes with pleasing God. We humans construct such a system in order to measure our relationships. But such a system simply destroys those relationships and also destroys us spiritually as well. And so the Apostle Paul says, owe no man anything. Don't put yourself in that position of bargaining your life away so that you then have all of these personal favors that you must pay on. Don't put yourself in that position of devaluing people and treating them as things and objects to be used for your own personal benefit. Don't put yourself in that position. Owe no one anything. But then he goes on to talk about how God creates relationships. So man constructs relationships in one way, but then God creates relationships in a better way. And how does God create relationships? Simply in this way, except to love one another. You see, that's really the only obligation we owe anyone else, to love them. To love them as people created in the image of God. To love them as the valuable things that they are. And so God's purpose for man can be fulfilled when we love one another. Jesus told us that this is the highest command and the second command. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great command, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Now, sometimes the problem is that we have misplaced love. And we think that we are loving people when we are actually being possessive of them and thinking that we own them. And we need to remember the fact that God really owns everything. In Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1, we read, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and then listen to this, and they that dwell therein. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about people. We belong to God. We don't belong to one another. You see, a system of relationship that creates possessiveness, whereby that I want to use you, whereby I want to control you. That's not the kind of system that God wants for us to develop relationships with one another, because we don't own other people. Only God owns everything. And we are no more than stewards of what God has put within our stewardship. this false sense of ownership that we sometimes get is really nothing more than human pride. It's my pride that wants people to behave in such and such a way that I want, because I think that's the way people ought to behave. And pride shouldn't be in control of our life. This results in a confusion of identity, because we identify with that in which we pride ourselves. Do we pride ourselves on our financial acumen? Then we have made that our idol. Do we pride ourselves on the fact that our family is greater or better than any other family? Well, then we have made that our idol. Do we pride ourselves on the kind of houses and lands that we own? Well, then we have made that our idol. Do we pride ourselves on the types of business deals that we've concluded and the great work that we've done in the community? Well, then we have made that our idol. Pride goes a long way toward turning people into just things. Well, you see, true love doesn't behave in this way. True love doesn't possessive. True love doesn't seek to own people. True love allows people to be who God created them to be. And God defines true love for us within His Word. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 8 for just a moment. And think about how this kind of love is the opposite of the kind of love that the world prides itself on in thinking about how to manipulate and to control other people. Think about the contrast here in that kind of love and God's love that He gives us here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, or is not prideful. Love does not behave itself rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Now that's the kind of love that God wants us to have within our lives. And we all really want to be treated in this way. And so why should we not treat others in this way and focus upon ourselves and loving other people? Real love is full of graciousness. Graciousness is favoring someone for who God made them to be. Favoring them simply for the fact that they're a person created in the image of God. Not because they can do something for me. Not because they may be useful in some way. But because just of who they are. Love really is gracious. Think about what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verses 32 through 35. Luke chapter 6 and verses 32 through 35. He said this, "If you love them which love you, what think do you have? Or what grace do you have? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye?" That word think can also be translated grace. What grace do you have? "For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what think or grace do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." Now think about what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, look, if you only love people who can do something for you in return, then how are you being gracious in your love? How are you really pursuing the love of God within your life? Because if you only love people who can do something for you in return, then you really haven't done all that much. Because anyone can do that. Now listen to what Jesus says next. "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Listen to what He says. Love them, do good, lend, and then what? Do not expect anything in return. You see, that's where we get caught up. We expect things in return for the love that we give. And when that expectation isn't met, then we get offended. We get disappointed. We say they haven't really done right by us. But the fact of the matter is that God wants us to give our love away to people and not put expectations on it, not put attachments on it, not make it so that you can't love someone unless they can do something for you. No, that's not godly love. Godly love says, I will love you and I will freely give to you regardless of what you can do, because you are a person created in the image of God, and for that reason alone, you deserve to be loved. And that's how we need to love other people. That kind of love is truly generous and seeks nothing in return, unlike how people construct these obligatory relationships. Now, in loving like that, God can liberate us from all kinds of things. You see, God wants us to be free from anxiety in relationships. And a lot of our anxiety is self-imposed. And we assume so much and we communicate so little. Paul wrote, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Philippians 4 and verse 6. If we will love as God has loved us and as He wants us to love, we can be free of anxiety in our relationships. God wants us to be free from systems of law. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." These humanly constructed relationship systems of pleasing people through owing personal favors are impossible to fulfill, and they become a law in and of themselves, so that we ultimately can't be free from that. But God wants us to be free, so let's love as God wants us to love. God wants us to be free from the dominion of sin. The system of pleasing people through owing personal favors actually encourages sins such as pride and envy and anger and many other sins. But the Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." You see, God wants us to be free from the dominion of sin. God wants us to be free from humanly constructed expectations, which includes ambition and envy and political expectations that others have of us. Well, God doesn't want us to owe in such a way so we feel obliged, so that we feel in debt to that, so that we then become slaves to that kind of thing. No, God wants us to be free. And so He has given us the system of love. God wants us to be free from humanly devised morality. Because in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah writes, "So Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps." Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths." Do you think that means in how we have our relationships with one another as well? Yes. Of course it means that. We've got to acknowledge God's will in our relationships. God liberates our relationships by getting us to focus upon loving Him and loving our neighbor. And when we love others, we give ourselves away without charge, without expecting anything in return. And we are gracious in favoring those around us. Love works no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. What a beautiful expression. What a wonderful way of telling us that we need to have God-centered relationships that are based upon sacrificial, self-sacrificing love and that are without human expectations. God created these relationships to be initiated and sustained by love, and He liberates our relationships by restoring us to His divine pattern of love instead of a man-constructed relationship of personal favors and obligations that really only devalues us, really only makes us tools and pawns in other people's machinations. And this frees us, when we do things God's way, this frees us from all the humanly devised and imposed legalisms that we place on one another. Would you be free this morning by turning to God and giving Him your life and letting Him create beautiful and healthy relationships within your life? Perhaps you've been living under this system of humanly devised relationships and you see how terrible it has been and how horrible it has gone for your life. And this morning you want that to change. You can come to Christ in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as your Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sins so that you can live free, that you can be free from sin, that you can be free from all these humanly devised traditions and moralities that have gone nowhere, and simply do what God wants you to do within His life. Live as God has created us to live, respecting one another as people created in His image. Are you a Christian and need the prayers of the church this morning? You can come requesting those prayers today. Whatever your need might be, won't you come while together we stand and sing?